You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. Time for the view from the opposition this week. It comes from Spurs fan Lee Wilmot, who is also an editor down in Football London, one of the Chronicle Live sister websites. Lee has been on the podcast before, so thank you very much for popping on again. Are you keeping well?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you, mate. I should warn you, I was on our Golden Guest podcast a couple of weeks back, and one of my dogs has chronic bronchitis and started coughing towards the end of it. He is on steroids now, so hasn't been coughing as much. So just in case anything in the background, you get some background noise, that's the issue.
Thank you for clarifying that one. I suppose you're feeling quite happy with the way Spurs' season is going so far. Champions League football is definitely on the cards if they can fight off Aston Villa. But then if the Premier League get that fifth place, then it's definitely on the cards for Tottenham. A good season so far?
Yeah, absolutely. When Ange Postecoglou first came in, no one was quite sure how quickly his methods and his philosophy would get across to the players. So I think we all expected a bit of a slow start, and things went very well right at the very start. It seemed to click straight away. First 10 games, we were unbeaten, and kind of Spurs fans were in dreamland. We've had a bit of an up and down time since then. Injuries have hit us a bit hard. We don't have the strength and depth of the three teams at the top of the table, obviously. Hopefully that will change in the next couple of transfer windows. But it's been a really positive season, given the 3 years or so that we had under Nuno Espirito Santo and Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte. The football's much better. The fans are much more positive, which is very rare for Tottenham fans to be positive, but the fans are a lot more positive these days than we normally are. And it's just all because of the kind of breath of fresh air that Ange has brought into the white half of North London this season. So, yeah, lots to play for Spurs at the minute. Seven big games to go. We've obviously got to play all of the top three in the last seven games of the season. So I think a lot of Tottenham fans will be looking at this on Saturday thinking we need 3 points against Newcastle, which is not always the case when it comes to Spurs playing Newcastle.
Yeah, and especially at St James's Park. You'll need no reminding that the last time...
No, please don't.
Up here, it was 6-1 to Newcastle United, and they were up by quite a few goals very early on. And you look at the form coming into this game, both sides have only lost once in their last five games, and they've actually lost the same game in that sequence of games as well, which is quite a funny remark. But what do you think Spurs are expecting from Newcastle? Because they've had a bit of an up and down season. Injuries have cost them. They're still costing them. Their squad didn't handle the Champions League. You know, those three games in a week, it has blown the squad apart. No new arrivals in January because of the financial fair play and what have you. And they are a little bit unpredictable, shall we say. And you just said there, you know, a lot of fans will be looking at this one as a must win. But does that unpredictability of Newcastle, I suppose they are a little bit more predictable at home, but they still do have that element of I don't know what's going to turn up. Does that make them hard to play against?
Absolutely, yeah. I think from my point of view, I'll be looking at the kind of the resurgence of Harvey Barnes since he's come back from injury, obviously. Anthony Gordon, Alexander Isak. You look at those three, and as a Spurs fan, if you can, and as a Spurs team, if you can keep them quiet, I think Spurs have got the ability to kind of hurt Newcastle going the other way, essentially. So yeah, I think it will come down to Spurs managing to, if Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero can keep Alexander Isak quiet, obviously. The fullbacks for Spurs have been so good at the start of the season. Destiny Udogie and Pedro Porro, a little bit off it in the game at Nottingham Forest at the weekend. Pedro Porro obviously scored, but defensively wasn't at his best. I think Destiny Udogie probably one of his worst games for Spurs at the weekend. So if they are back on it and the two centre-backs can, as I say, keep those three forwards going quiet, then I think Newcastle know that Spurs have got the players in Heung-Min Son, James Maddison, Kulusevski, Brennan Johnson. Timo Werner was excellent against Nottingham Forest at the weekend, which was great to see. Spurs have got the players going the other way to hurt Newcastle as well. So, yeah, it should be an exciting game because I think both teams will attack each other. That's what Spurs want. Spurs want teams to come at them, essentially. Leave a few gaps for the kind of the tricky, the fast forward players that we've got to get in behind and score the goals for us. So, I'm expecting an entertaining one. Hopefully not with five goals for the home side in 22 minutes or whatever it was last time. But yeah, how do you see it? Is it all on those front three? Is that kind of the feeling around Newcastle at the minute?
I think it is, and there's some debate whether Harvey Barnes will start or whether he'll be on the bench and be that kind of impact player. Don't think anyhow wants to rush him back too quickly, but he is so good when he gets on the ball. And we've seen in recent weeks, Alexander Isak has really benefited from having someone who can provide the service. And you know, Anthony Gordon is playing his way into the European squad for England this summer. I mean, the midfield is quite important as well. I mean, Bruno, for the large parts of the season, has been carrying those either side of him. He's a fantastic player, but the gap and the space that is in the midfield is always going to be exploited by a top quality side like Tottenham, unfortunately. So I think where Newcastle will hopefully win the game will be on the flanks with definitely Anthony Gordon, and if it's Jacob Murphy or if it is Harvey Barnes, which I know a lot of people will want to see start, that's where Newcastle's main threat will come down is the flanks, and Alexander Isak drifting over to either side as well, then coming in. I just think the midfield, for as good as Bruno has been, he scored the winner against Fulham in his 100th performance for Newcastle. I've just come to accept that that's also their biggest flaw as well in terms of just the space that's there to be exploited. So if Spurs can do that, as many teams have done, this season, they will have some joy, but they've definitely, as you've said, got to try and keep those wingers in Anthony Gordon and whoever starts on the other flank quiet, because it's Newcastle's main threat.
I've done Jacob Murphy a very bad disservice there, haven't I? I've been speaking far too much about Harvey Barnes, and guess especially considering he scored twice in the first 10 minutes against Spurs in that game last season. So, I think it's just because Harvey Barnes has been making the headlines in the last couple of games from coming off the bench, and I think he would be first choice, fully fit, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, I think a large majority of our listeners will want Harvey Barnes to start on Saturday. But I just wonder whether, because, you know, he's come back before, he's always had setbacks with this injury, whether Eddie Howe just thinks, okay, we'll rest him. Because he didn't start against Fulham. He was on the bench and then he's come off, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's right. Because Anthony Gordon came back in, who was suspended. But yeah, you know, whether he starts, whether he comes off the bench, he's definitely a danger man. He's so quick with the ball. He's really quick when it comes to just doing it. It's just, you know, it's just quick as a flash. He's a really, really good player, and I can't wait to see him fully fit in the colours of Newcastle United. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he does start on Saturday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And I guess in terms of it being an entertaining game, Spurs have scored at least once in each of their last 17 Premier League away games against Newcastle. Both sides have scored 65 goals this season. I'm expecting goals. I think the fans will be expecting goals. How are they doing defensively though? Are they a bit more tighter than they were at the start of the season? Because if I'm not mistaken, there was a little bit of criticism that they were kind of gung-ho and they couldn't hold on to leads. Is that changed as the season's gone on?
I don't think so, no. I think it's just an aspect of how Ange wants to play football. He's quite happy to be open. I think lots of people have spoken about Mickey van der Ven this season and how much we missed him when he was injured with that hamstring injury. And that's going to happen with a player who's got the pace that he has. He's going to pick up hamstring injuries. But even if you're out of position, it's been very rare over the years to think about Spurs being, oh, I'm quite confident defensively. I'm not confident defensively as such during games, but when there's balls in behind the back line, I'm very confident that Mickey van der Ven will kind of pick it up because purely of the pace that he's got. He can be out of position. Romero can be out of position and Romero can and van der Ven can get back and clean up, essentially. There was one moment against Forest on Sunday where Romero kind of, as he does, can be quite rash at times and try and win the ball high up the pitch and didn't win it. And then a ball came in behind the defence and you just watch Mickey van der Ven. It's almost like serenely sprinting in behind and making sure that he's going to get there before the striker. And both Romero and Pedro Porro, just you could see them on the pitch, just arms, hands raised like that. Big applause for van der Ven coming back. That's what Spurs have got that we haven't always had before. So, yeah, they will, not gung-ho, but they will attack. That's Ange's philosophy. We go and attack, and if we're 1-0 up, why would we stop and hold on to what we've got? Let's go and get two. Let's go and get three if we can. Let's go and get four. I think that's been the issue of late, that we've not been firing on all cylinders in the final third. So, yeah, you just rely on van der Ven's pace and Romero's reading of the game, essentially. But they can be... I have noticed in recent weeks that there are gaps, particularly on our right-hand side. I think Pedro Porro can get drawn in a little bit, maybe a bit more narrow than he should be, and it leaves a little bit of space on the wide left. So that might be something that Newcastle target on Saturday.
Yeah, music to Anthony Gordon's ears. And that also goes back to the debate about Anthony Gordon, Harvey Barnes, Jacob Murphy, because I think a lot of people feel that Anthony Gordon is less of a player, for want of a better phrase, out on the right wing. Still a very good player, but his best position is out on the left. Whereas Harvey Barnes, if he does start, would have to be out on the left and you'd switch Gordon over. And, you know, it's whether you kind of sacrifice a little bit of Gordon to get Harvey Barnes in. Some would take that little bit of a sacrifice because you're then bringing in an absolute fantastic player as well. But given that, it seems there's a little bit of advantage to be had down that wing. Maybe Gordon will start on the left. I've got another stat here, Lee, as well about the goals being scored. And it's Newcastle are one of just two teams to have scored in 100% of their Premier League home games this season. The other side is Tottenham. So you can expect goals. And a bit like Spurs, I guess, as you've just referenced there, I think Newcastle's issue of late is that they've just not been clinical enough in front of goal. And some people were saying, well, they scored four against West Ham. Yes, they did, but they could have had a few more. Everton, there was wasted chances. Against City in the Cup, there was wasted chances. I think Newcastle United do just need to start putting a few more in the back of the net, and then we'll quickly forget about their defensive flaws. Talk to me about Spurs' away form, because at home, they're absolutely fantastic. On the road, how do they do?
Sorry, am I back now? My Wi-Fi had a bit of a moment there.
You froze there, but you're back in the room. Yeah. Did you hear what I was talking about when I was saying about Newcastle?
You started about a stat, and then I lost you.
Did you? I was just saying Newcastle are one of two teams to have scored in 100% of their home games in the Premier League this season. Do you know the other team?
Oh, the other team, I imagine, is us, because we've scored in every game under Ange Postecoglou apart from that 3-0 defeat to Fulham.
There you go. It is yourselves, yes. And I think that also kind of just points to the fact that you can expect goals this Saturday. And I was just asking
we're building this up for a goalless draw now.
Yeah, 0-0. BT are going to be very disappointed, or TNT, whatever they're called this time around. But on the road, how are Spurs doing? Is it as good at home, or are they a bit hit and miss?
It's interesting. I should probably have a look at the stats for kind of the away form table. Let's have a look at the away. I've got it right in front of me here. So we're fifth in the away table. So about where we were, only a point behind Aston Villa in the away table. So it's very similar. I think it's a very similar Tottenham team, whether we play at home or away. Ange Postecoglou is going to get criticised for potentially not having a plan B or a plan C. He plays his style of football and that's it. But it works for him. It has been working for Spurs so far. So why not carry on with it, essentially? Newcastle will get the same Tottenham team at St James's Park as you would get at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, essentially.
But is that attacking style also maybe their main weakness, because it does leave them open?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. We are an open team to play against. It does make for exciting matches of football. And it just depends what style of football fan you are, I suppose, whether you're happy with that and the attacking nature of Spurs. It's always been levelled at Spurs, hasn't it, over the last 10, 20, 30 years or so. They've kind of brought up on the Tottenham way. They've got all this flair, but they never win anything. So what's the point? And I think we've gone through, as I say, 3 years or so of that kind of dire, boring football under the three managers previous, that to get back to that Tottenham way that we were brought up with as children has been quite refreshing and quite nice to see. So you still get some people in the crowd that are, oh, why are we messing around with it at the back? Why aren't we getting it forward? And then when you see it come off, you play three or four passes at the back and then beat the press and then you're away. You can turn around to some people behind you in the crowd and go, that's why. It is very risk and reward football from Ange Postecoglou. It can get hearts in mouths when it looks like we are messing around with it as such at the back, but it's the way he wants to play, and it is an exciting brand of football. But you're absolutely right, it can leave you open, particularly to the better teams. I think last weekend against Nottingham Forest, Luton before that, Luton obviously went in front, but you've got the quality in that Tottenham team to, if you make a mistake and let a team like that in, to then go and score one or two and come back from behind. Have you got the ability to do that against Newcastle? We'll see on Saturday, I think. They're a better team, clearly, than the likes of Forest and Fulham, so they can hurt Spurs.
And it goes back to that point I was making at the start of the show about Newcastle's unpredictability, because at the point you've mentioned there about passing it around the kind of the back line and maybe a few fans questioning why, because it does often leave you open to a mistake or two. I would talk about Newcastle's high press, now they're really good at it, and you know they're one of the best pressing sides in the Premier League. Last season they were, but this time around, with the injuries and the impact on the squad, they just don't seem to have the legs or energy anymore to be as good in the pressing game as we've seen them be, and that obviously is a massive boost to Tottenham. So they will probably be allowed to play out from the back, but then again, I guess if you're not being pressed, that in a way might also work in Newcastle's favour, because maybe Tottenham will be like, well, okay, what do we do with it now?
There have been occasions this season where a team hasn't pressed and Spurs can be quite slow in the build-up and kind of looking for gaps and not kind of working the ball side to side and trying to pull players out of position. It can be quite slow and tedious when teams don't press. So that is something that I think Ange needs to find a way around and how we kind of how we move the ball a bit quicker with teams that don't press. So, it might be interesting on Saturday if Newcastle haven't got the legs and aren't willing to do that. If they do, I don't know. I don't foresee Newcastle setting up in a four and two banks of four and letting Spurs have the ball. So I would like to think there would be gaps and Newcastle would like to push out and get on the front foot where they could as well.
Yeah, you're right. I don't see it happening, but they did something similar against Spurs where for the first time in weeks, probably months, they sat quite deep and said to Wolves, you know, come on then, come and play. And, you know, you had Bruno and two of the midfielders kind of on the edge of the box and then sticking their foot and then hitting them on the counter. And they won that game and it was perfect for Newcastle. They went down to Chelsea, should have done similar. They decided not to. They got beat. So they have, at least once this season, done that where they've gone a little bit more defensively against a side who likes to have the ball and it has worked. So maybe that is the way for Newcastle to go on Saturday. It's definitely something I would go for, given that I don't think they've got the energy or legs to play the high press against Tottenham. We're talking about Tottenham, you know, starting the season well. James Maddison's come out and said, you know, given how we started the season, it's disappointing not to be in a title race. First off, I just want to get your thoughts on those comments, because on yesterday's episode, the match preview, me and John had a bit of debate about whether that's a good thing, him saying that, whether that's a good thing, him coming out in public and saying that. Does that suggest he's a little bit disappointed at just battling for Champions League? And does it potentially put more pressure on Tottenham, not only on Saturday's game, but for the remainder of the season as well?
I don't mind it from the players. I think Ange just quite openly come out and said, these are my aims. I want to be number one. I'm not going to be talking about getting into the Champions League. This is a project. I'm trying to build something for the future here, not just for this season. So if we get into the Champions League, we deserve it. If we don't, we don't. And then we'll build on it for next year. James Maddison has come out and said, the gaffer asked to say that essentially, but from my point of view, getting into the Champions League is a non-negotiable for this club, which is kind of refreshing to hear. But yes, it does put the pressure on. I don't think there's massive amount of pressure. It is us or Newcastle. It is us or, I'm sure you'd love it to be Newcastle this year.
I would love it to be.
It is us or Villa this year. I think Man United are now out of the race with, 11 points behind Spurs now. So it's us or Villa. So it's not like there are four or five teams battling for that place and the real pressure is on. And there is a good chance that fifth might get the Champions League anyway. So I don't think there's massive pressure on, but I like the players wanting to say that. He's absolutely right. Given the start we had to the season, you're hoping and expecting you might be in a title race for the first time in years. But he got injured. Van de Ven got injured. Romero was suspended for a ridiculous red card against Chelsea. We had other injuries to contend with. Son went off to the Asian Cup in January. Bissouma and Sarr, who had started the season so well in the midfield, they went off to the African Cup of Nations. We've had a lot of things to deal with, and I know every club can say they've had a lot of things to deal with, but when you haven't quite got the squad that the three above you have got, and you have those issues, it's easy to see why we tailed off a little bit in the middle of the season. And if we can come good now and give it a good go and finish fourth, then I think most fans will be quite content and see that as a successful season. But yeah, you look at 11 points away. The fact we've lost to Wolves twice this season, that 3-0 defeat to Fulham was awful. West Ham draw a couple of weeks ago, we had all of the ball and couldn't find a way around their defence. And again, every team will look at certain games and go, oh, we should have got points here, we should have got points there. But it's like three games and you can they easily come spring to mind. Three games, 9 points. It's like, well, then we'd be right up there. So yeah, we're not far off it. But yeah, I think we're quite happy at the minute.
Oh, grand. Well, I can hear our listeners and viewers shouting at you, Lee, when you talk about injuries and that in your season, because if you look at the team Newcastle could field of the players who are not available to be picked, it is pretty much a first team. It is a very, very good team. The likes of Anthony Gordon and Bruno aside, they've had a horrendous look with injuries, and I can't wait to see a full squad next season. Hopefully Newcastle back in the picture for Champions League qualification.
Well, you're not far off it, are you? Really, in terms of European qualification, the Europa League should be right on the agenda for this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think if Newcastle can get at least a point against Tottenham, they've still got to play Manchester United as well, which will be the penultimate game of this season. And then the rest of the run-ins, relatively kind to a certain degree. You know, you've got your Brighton, you've got Sheffield United, you've got Crystal Palace. You know, Newcastle United, it's in their hands to qualify for at least the Europa League. You know, Europa Conference, I wouldn't be turning my nose up at that either. I think it's a competition that you'd want to play in, even though it's not the Champions League, but it's still a good experience and one you could definitely win. So yeah, just to qualify for Europa this season would be amazing, given the injuries that Newcastle have had to deal with. Talk to us about your fears, maybe, of Newcastle. Is there a certain player that you love watching when it's not against Tottenham?
I think I spoke right at the very beginning. All those, the three that I mentioned at the beginning, I loved Harvey Barnes when he was at Leicester. And I think he's a real talent. He is someone that Spurs were linked with. And I would have loved to have had at Spurs, just because he's just so exciting when he gets on the ball, kind of head down, run at pace, run at defenders. And he's got the skill as well. Anthony Gordon was another. I think I probably mentioned him when we did the last podcast. Was it earlier this season or last season when we last spoke? He was another that Spurs were linked with, that perhaps lost his way a little bit. And what he's done since he's been at Newcastle has been extraordinary. He's kind of pulled himself back from where he was, and to be in that England mix up now is just incredible for him. He's a hell of a talented player. And yeah, Isak. How much did Newcastle pay for Alexander Isak?
Off the top of my head, I think was it close to 60 million potentially? There's a lot of raised eyebrows when he did sign for quite a fee, but he's certainly silenced the doubters.
I thought he was an excellent player at Sociedad, and I thought it was a great move for Newcastle to bring him in. And there continues to be speculation about him moving on, given whether Newcastle need to save money or bring some money in to conform to FFP and PSR and stuff like that. So I think that would be a massive loss if he were to leave Newcastle at any point in the next year or so. So yeah, those three. I've always been a big fan of Bruno Guimaraes as well. I think he does the job that no one else wants to do in the middle of the park, essentially, and kind of keeps things ticking over and gets Newcastle moving. Always willing to pick up a yellow card to stop a counter-attack. You need one of those players in the team. There's talent across that Newcastle team. It is a shame, really, the number of injuries that the club have had this season, and the fact that you're not up in the top four or five picture. But I think next season you will be again. They're such a dangerous team. I like Eddie Howe as a manager, which I realise some fans may not like me saying, but I do like what he does. So yeah, it's going to be a tough proposition on Saturday. Newcastle's always one I'm very wary of. Always wary of going to St James's Park. And I was actually looking at our record at St James's Park, and it's not as bad as I thought in the last five or six games. I always thought Spurs, it's obviously last season's always plays on my mind. But I think we've won four of the last six at St James's Park. So yeah, it always seems like a daunting prospect, but our record's not quite as bad as I first thought. So I'm going in with a bit more optimism than I initially had this morning, actually.
Well, I'll just always kind of take you back to last season in the visit.
Yeah, go on.
Straight back down. But it's interesting to talk about Bruno, because he's had to go 10 games without a booking, and he's managed it up until this point. And if he does not pick a booking up this Saturday, he'll have a clean slate. Picks a booking up, he'll get a two-game ban. Ironically, I've read somewhere that if he picks two bookings up and gets sent off within the game, he'll only serve a one-game ban, which is ridiculous. But anyway, that's what I read. I should have checked it out before I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Regardless, big, big praise for Bruno getting through the last 10 games or so without a yellow card, because as you say, his game is usually sacrificing himself to stop a counter-attack. He can be a mouthy so-and-so. He can get easily wound up. He's very emotional, gets wrapped up in it, loves jumping in the crowd and what have you. He hasn't done that, and he's become a better player because of it, because he's had to be disciplined, he's had to be focused. And what we've seen in recent months while he's trying to avoid that yellow card has been nothing short of sensational. He's carried Newcastle through, and hopefully he doesn't fall at the final hurdle, because it would be so Newcastle.
was going to say Bissouma or Christian Romero in his face. That could change on Saturday. They're two players that that could wind him up. But there we go. The midfield, I suppose, is going to be interesting, actually. On Sunday against Forest, Postecoglou started with Pap Sarr and Eve Bissouma with Maddison in front of them. And Bissouma and Sarr did not have a great first half. They were hooked at half-time. Rodrigo Bentancur and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg came on at half-time. And both the two replacements were excellent in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see what midfield Spurs line up with on Saturday against Newcastle.
Yeah, and if any Spurs fans, for whatever reason, have stumbled across this podcast, I think Elliot Anderson's the one that just to keep an eye on, a young lad who, again, suffered injury early on in the season. He'd be kicking himself because of all the injuries this season, it would have presented him with a chance. But then he picked up an injury and it fell to Lewis Miley, the young lad who came in and did brilliantly. And he's now picked up an injury. But anyway, Elliot Anderson is finally fit and he came and made a difference against Fulham. He's quick on the ball. He's strong. Like I say, I think he's only 19, 20. He could be a very important role on Saturday, because we're assuming Joe Willock will be missing, of course, former Spurs man. He's suffered injury. I mean, goodness me, I could go on about the injuries. But yeah, Elliot Anderson, one to watch. Just briefly on James Maddison, Lee, before I get your score prediction. He's a very, very lucky boy, isn't he? But you're gonna say to me, I love VAR. VAR's the best ever, aren't you? For what he did against Nottingham Forest, to get away with that is an absolute disgrace.
It was interesting, to say the least. Yeah, I was in the stands on Sunday, so I didn't know what happened until afterwards, obviously. But yeah, he can get wound up. He's one of those players. He knows to expect it because he's so good on the ball, and he's a talented player. He's one of those players that he's got to expect being fouled during games, because that's just the nature of him trying to keep hold of possession and being the spark that the Tottenham have. Ryan Yates did wind him up. I think there is an argument for Ryan Yates being sent off in that game as well, to be fair. But yes, I think he is a little bit lucky. You're absolutely right. I'm not going to defend him too much in that moment.
That's indefensible. That's even before I realised, you know, you'd be available to be picked for this game. It didn't necessarily click my mind that Newcastle were next up on the fixture list for Spurs. So I'm not necessarily being biased. I just think it's another terrible move by VAR. But anyway, we could do a whole other podcast on that.
You must have done plenty of podcasts on VAR and injuries this season.
Oh, too many. But as our listeners know, I love the technology, but the people running it.
Oh yeah,
they can't do the job, and it needs to be sorted. I'm just quickly looking here at Tottenham's home form, away form, in the last six games, only won once, drawn three, and lost two, conceded 12, and scored 11. So, the last six games on the road, not brilliant.
No, not brilliant. West Ham 1-1. We were very good against West Ham. That they set up with essentially six men in the middle and said try and find a way through us, and we couldn't. The way Spurs try and attack, we try to do a lot of getting the ball out to the wide forward and then getting the ball across the box for the other wide forward or the man in the middle to put it in. I know a lot of Spurs fans have got frustrated that we're playing that way, and that seems to be the way we want to attack teams, but it does work quite effectively. There's been a couple of own goals scored because players have been trying to get in front of their man and skewing it into their own goal, essentially. We did that a lot against West Ham and couldn't find a way through because they did set up with, yeah, as I say, six players essentially in and around their box, and we couldn't find a way through, which is why it'll be interesting if Newcastle don't press from the front on Saturday, because if they do that like West Ham did, then Tottenham might struggle. But yeah, I don't know. I think a draw would be a good result on Saturday. I could see it being a 2-2, given how both teams are. I think Spurs need to win, given the fixtures we've got coming up. Might eke out a 3-2 or something like that, but I can see it finishing 2-2 between the two clubs on Saturday.
I'd take a point, I think, against Tottenham, given where they are. Obviously, they come to St James's Park, which is a fortress, but Newcastle haven't been overly brilliant, you know, dropping points to Luton, dropping points to Everton, dropping points to Bournemouth. So, you know, it's not perhaps the fortress that we came to know of last season, but still a very difficult place to come. 12:30 kickoff, the crowd will be right behind Newcastle. But I would take a point, be hoping for 4 or 3, because Newcastle, of course, have got their own European aspirations. But yeah, a point wouldn't be the worst result in the world. And I think it will be in an entertaining game. There'll be goals in it, but hopefully a positive result for Newcastle. Lee, thank you as always for popping on to the podcast. A pleasure to chat to you all things Tottenham. Do you guys watching, hit subscribe, give the video a thumbs up. To you guys listening, hit follow on your podcast platform and leave us a rating and review. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the build up to this game and live coverage of Newcastle versus Tottenham through our dedicated live blog on Saturday morning.